What the hell is going on, people? Hey, what's up? If you're on video version, you're probably thinking, Allison, what are you doing? I'm sitting in my car. That's what I'm doing. We're doing a car podcast, babe. Let's go. Get in the car. We're podcasting. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like still at my grandmother's house, so I'm just switching up scenery. I wanted to sit outside because it's a beautiful day out. I'm just realizing how interesting this is right now. I wanted to sit outside because it's a beautiful day out, but the back porch where I typically sit to record is shaded and windy. So it's really cold back there. But it's super sunny out and I wanted to let my eyes see the sun. So I decided to sit in my car. I don't know. I love to sit in my car though. I've recorded many a podcast in this car right here. Just never with video version. I'm going to try to hold my ass still because I'm realizing every time I move, the camera kind of shakes. So, God, I'm so sorry about that. Yeah, I hope you're doing good. I hope you're taking care of yourself. We got a good episode today. It's something a lot of you have been wanting me to talk about. But before I get into that, I kind of want to do like a song of the day, a song of the episode. And it's not going to be like what my favorite song has been lately. Although if you want to know my favorite song, it will probably always be Rollerblades by Dominic Fike. Such a magnificent song. I'm just going to like the song of the episode is going to be the song that was in my head on repeat up until recording this. And for me, that was Hard Place by, no, it wasn't. I lied to you. Was it? It was either Hard Place or Best Part by her. I don't remember because I can't remember what I was singing. I was singing when I was setting up out on the back porch. And then since then, I've just been like trying to get myself situated in this car. So I forget what song was stuck in my head. Regardless, her, she's amazing. If you're on video version, I'm wearing my Wallow sweatshirt. This beautiful green Wallow sweatshirt from the tour that I saw them on. And it has like velvet or felt. I don't know my fabrics. Anyways, it literally is not important at all. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to update you on. Today, I booked my hostels for Edinburgh and London, which was like the first 3 weeks of my Europe trip, which is I start in Ireland, then I'm going to Edinburgh, then I'm going to London. And honestly, when you're listening to this, I'm probably in one of those places. I'm pre-recording all of my episodes for Europe. That way, I don't have to worry about recording podcasts while I'm there because I'm going to be recording while I'm there, but for vlogs. I'm so excited for these travel vlogs. I absolutely love to vlog my travels, but this is the first time that I'm going to have my actual camera. Up until this point, all of my travel vlogs have been done on my iPhone, and I don't know how people record on their iPhones because whenever I would like transfer the footage to my computer to edit it, it would take years to load and it would just be choppy. So I just gave up and it sucks because my entire Mexico City trip I vlogged, but I just deleted the footage because it wouldn't load. So my whole Europe trip is going to be vlogged. Please go subscribe to my YouTube because that's where I'm going to be posting it. And I'm really excited. I love it. I want you guys to love these travel vlogs. One of my favorite YouTubers, I don't know about you guys, I grew up on the British YouTubers, like the original. I feel like there's two sets of OG YouTubers. You know, one of them is like the Jenna Marbles, Grace Helbig. O2L was right after that, but like Jenna Marbles, Grace Helbig, Shane Dawson, PewDiePie. I didn't watch PewDiePie though. I feel like those were like the OGs. Who else? Mamrie Hart, iJustine. Like there's that group of OG YouTubers. I love to talk about YouTube. God, do I love it. I was such a YouTube kid. Don't worry, we're going to get into the topic of this episode, but I really like this idea of just like chatting with you guys at first because I started to feel like a robot, always just like, hey, I'm talking about this today. Like I want to be friends with you. I want this to feel like, that's my favorite type of podcast is like a hangout. But we're going to get into the good stuff. Today, we're going to be talking about independence, codependency, hyper-independence, how to love being alone, all of that. But first, we're chatting. I could literally make a whole episode on YouTube. I was a YouTube kid. I grew up on YouTube. And honestly, I feel like I did watch TV shows. Like, I watched Zoe 101 growing up. I watched iCarly, Drake and Josh. I watched all of that. But a majority of my media consumption, or like entertainment, a majority of my entertainment came from YouTube. And I truthfully feel like it was because I had such like a lonely childhood that I turned to YouTube because it felt like they were my friends. Like with people on TV, I could look at them and be like, yeah, you're just a character on TV. But with YouTubers, I was like, I know you. We're best friends. Or like, for example, Key and Lolly. Yeah, you're going to be my husband, obviously. Who didn't think that? But anyways, back to the British YouTubers. Why did I even start talking about the British YouTubers? Oh, I'll get there. I remembered. Wow, see? My brain's really improving with my ADHD because I would have never figured out my way back. The original like group of British YouTubers, which was like Casper Lee, Joe Sugg, Zoe Sugg, Alfie Days, Marcus Butler. Who am I missing? Jim Chapman and Tanya Burr. Like those. Absolutely love them. I still to this day watch Zoe Sugg. Her and Alfie just had a baby. Nobody cares. But nobody cares. I care. Nobody listening probably cares, basically, is what I'm saying. I care very much. I love them. Anyways, Zoe has a friend named Mark Ferris. And oh my God, I love him. Please go follow him. His Instagram is Marky Ferris. But his YouTube is so fun. And he does so much solo travel content. I love it. He inspires me so much when it comes to like the type of content I want to create. Because it just, I like seeing people create what I create or what I want to create. Because sometimes I still feel imposter syndrome for sure sometimes, but I think the main thing that I sometimes feel when it comes to creating content is like, nobody's going to want to listen to this or nobody's going to want to watch this. Nobody cares. But I need to stop myself from doing that because then I just feel like a robot and I stop producing and creating things that I want to create, and I only start creating things that I think other people want to see, which isn't fun. That's not why I create. I literally do this because I enjoy it. So I just like constantly have to remind myself of that. And one of my favorite things to watch is solo travel content. I love watching his vlogs. Like, he just went to Bend, Oregon. He's from the UK. I'm like manifesting I'm gonna meet him and we'll be best friends when I'm in London. He's from London. He's not, whatever, you get what I'm saying. So yeah, I'm just really excited for my solo travel content. A lot of it will be on my YouTube. I am going to break down my vlogs from YouTube and post like mini vlogs on TikTok and Instagram. But a majority of it will be on my YouTube, and I'm so fucking excited. And I'm also so excited to edit them. I'm actually editing a vlog right now, but I'm not even having fun with it. I might not even post it just because it was just like my last week in Florida and I was just like getting shit done. And then I vlogged the road trip a teeny bit, but I'm like, I wouldn't want to watch this. Or would I? I don't know, because there's some creators that I'm like, I would watch anything you put out. I would literally sit here and watch you like talking to the wall. Like, anyways, nobody cares. I'm going to move on. We're going to dive into the topic of this week. And like I said, today we're going to be talking about independence, codependency, how to get over being codependent. I don't want to say how to get over, how to work through your codependency and how to get comfortable with being alone. And on top of that, we're also going to talk about hyper independency because, girl, it's important. I sort of want to talk to you about my journey with codependency and hyper independency and my road to becoming comfortable with being independent and a healthy independent. So growing up, I was a very, very, very independent kid. I sort of just relied on myself and became very self-reliant. If it wasn't for my grandparents, I feel like I would have been 100% self-reliant. But I think kids with trauma or kids who sort of, you know, whatever, we become very self-reliant and we just sort of raise ourselves. I was talking to my grandmother recently about this. Like, I feel like I had two separate childhoods. One of them was my life with my grandparents, living with my grandparents. Like, they provided such a safe house for me. And I was at their house a majority of the time until I was probably 10. I actually don't know. My timeline of my life is really screwed up. I can't remember years. But the other half of my childhood was the like traumatic part with my parents, even though they were divorced, like whenever I was at either of their houses, it was traumatic. And both of them seem like two different lives. Like they don't seem like mine. So it's very interesting because if I was just with my parents all the time, I would have been like very hyper independent. But because I had my grandparents, like I did have some sense of safety and healthy dependency. So there is a backstory to that because our dependency styles and our attachment styles are formed starting in childhood and based off of our relationship with our parents, our mothers, our fathers, our caretakers, our guardians, whatever. So I just wanted to sort of touch on that. I was very independent growing up. And then I got into my first relationship in freshman year of high school. I was 14. I got into my first relationship and it very quickly became very codependent because up until that point, I never really relied on anybody or I never really had anyone super close to me that wasn't my grandparents. But even then, like, I don't feel like I ever really relied on them. I knew they were there for me, but I never relied on them because they had enough shit going on. Like, they were also dealing with my family. And I had good friends. Like, I had close friends, but not close enough. Like, nobody knew what was going on in my life ever. No, I never really let anybody in up until this first relationship that I got into. And this relationship was very much like a trauma bond. I think we just like both were very traumatized people. Like it was just a trauma bond to say the least. And also I got into this relationship almost exactly a year after my grandfather died. I started talking to this guy like 6 months after my grandfather died. And I just like, it was like my father died. Like my grandfather raised me. It was like my dad died. So obviously I was not in the best state of mind. And, yeah, that it was just like a lot. And I feel like it sounds horrible to say this, but like, that's sort of what a trauma bond is. I feel like that relationship was sort of, I don't want to say distraction, but yeah, like I knew if I were to be alone for much longer, all of the shit was going to come to the surface and I wasn't ready for that. And also like this was subconscious. I wasn't consciously getting into a relationship just to like distract myself, but I think subconsciously I was. But that's what a trauma bond is. Like you latch onto each other to like keep you afloat sort of a thing, even though it ended up being worse for me in the end. Regardless, I became very codependent on this person very quickly. And I placed my happiness into his hands. It just like wasn't a healthy relationship from the jump. It was a very toxic relationship very early on. We were both very toxic. We were both very traumatized kids. And also I just want to clarify, like when I don't need to clarify this, but I'm going to. When I talk about this relationship, I'm not talking about him. You know, like me bringing this up has nothing to do with this person. I don't know. Okay. Just a nice truck driving past. Sorry, it was so loud if you heard it. I don't bring this up to talk about him. I bring this up because it's relevant to my life experiences. I've noticed over the time of me being on social media and sharing about my life and my experiences and everything, some people get upset by the fact that I'm sharing, but like I never give names. I never talk about people to talk about them. Anytime I'm talking about someone, it's in context to like how our relationship was, if that makes sense. Like, for example, if I'm going to talk about my mother, I'm not bringing her up to shit on her. I'm bringing her up to mention like how our dynamic was and the effect it had on me. It's not about her, babe. You know what I mean? And also like, I feel like people forget that you are allowed to talk about your life experiences. I went my whole life holding my tongue and not talking about my stories and my life because I didn't want to make other people feel bad. But also, if you don't want someone to talk about what you did to them, don't fucking do it. Sorry to break it to you. Don't fucking do it. I'm not going to keep secrets and I'm not going to feel ashamed of talking about my life because it upsets you. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about how what you did affected me. There's a difference. Thank you. Good night. I just wanted to say that because I'm not even going to get into it, but like, also the people that I talk about don't fucking exist anymore. Like, what, for example, if I talk about an old friend that I have and something happened, and, or even, not even that, if I talk about my mom and I'm sharing something she did in the past and how it affected me, she doesn't exist anymore. That version of my mother doesn't exist anymore. Who she is now, I don't have anything to say about her. She's a great woman. You know what I mean? Like, I have nothing bad to say about my mother now. And also, what I'm saying about her in the past isn't me saying something bad or going out of my way to shit on her. It's me saying how that thing affected me. There's a difference. So when I talk about my ex or any past relationship or any past friendship, anything, I'm not doing that to shit on the person. I'm doing it because I am allowed to share my life experiences and how it affected me, because I'm not the only person who's ever went through that, and I want to help people get through that. And I also don't know these people. This, like, I'm talking about this version of my ex that was who he was to me in that moment. Don't know the kid now. Like, haven't spoke to him in years. Don't know a damn thing about him. That person I knew doesn't exist anymore. I just wanted to say that. What was I even talking about? Oh, right. It was just a toxic relationship. And like I said, I'm not doing this to shit on him, because I was also really toxic and we were both really traumatized. And also, hey, we were kids. Like, we were literally both 14. And that relationship lasted until it was a couple of months before my 18th birthday. And when we finally, like, broke up, it was off and on for a really long time. He was like cheating. It was just like, okay, you're mistreating me, I need to leave. I couldn't leave because I was scared. And also, like, our entire relationship, even like when him and I were first started talking, not even dating yet, I knew in my head, this is not going to go well. This is not going to go well. He's not treating me right. This is not going to go well. Blah, 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 blah. I couldn't leave because I was already, from like the jump, codependent. I latched onto him immediately because he like gave me a sense of validation that I had never experienced before. That was like my first real boyfriend. And it was like, oh my God, this is making me feel good about myself and distracting me from how shitty my life is. So I very quickly latched on and became codependent. Dear God, Allison, get to the fucking point. Sorry, I'm babbling. Good Lord. So anyways, I ended up finally breaking up with him after like being on and off for a really long time, because I was just like, I can't do this anymore, dude. And that's my advice. Like, if you're loving someone or if you're close to someone who's in a toxic relationship, they will get to a point where they're like, I can't do this anymore, and they'll be done. And that's sort of what I did. I was like, can't do it anymore. I'm done. And we broke up, and I sort of went from being very codependent to very hyper independent very quickly. It was like a flick of a switch, and I was like, never doing that again. Never, ever again getting into a relationship, never opening my heart to anybody, never letting anybody in, never loving anybody. I'm never doing that shit again, because motherfuckers out here don't deserve my love. That was my viewpoint. Like, you don't deserve my love. You fucked it up for everyone. Thanks. Happy? And it was also like, I never wanted to put myself into positions where I could be hurt like that again. I sort of had a moment with myself and I was like, you are not a weak bitch. Like, look at the shit you've been through in your life, and you let a boy get you this fucked up. Please get it together. I was so like pissed off at myself that I was like, I don't know what happened there, because that is not me. We're not doing that again. I was so afraid of my attachment style. I'm very much, now at this point in my life, I have a secure attachment style. But when I was single, I had like a avoidant attachment style. Or even before that, I feel like I was, whatever. When I got into a relationship, I got anxiously attached very quickly, and that was such a shock to me because I had never experienced that before a day in my life. When you go from being so independent your whole life and being like, I don't need anybody, fuck off, you get into a relationship and suddenly you feel like you can't breathe without them, that is terrifying. Literally terrifying, because you're like, what happened? What happened? So I became very hyper independent after that relationship because I was so afraid for that to happen to me again. And I eventually, like, you know, was healing and working and healing and working on myself and healing through that trauma from that relationship and just all of my traumas beforehand. And I slowly started to get to this point of feeling more secure and like thinking I was getting to a point of being more securely attached. And I know this is about independence and codependency, but honestly, I feel like that blends into attachment styles. But I was fearful of becoming codependent again. So that's why I just decided I won't ever do that again. So I became hyper independent. And it's such an interesting journey because as you start to heal, it really comes down to like trust in yourself. Now I'm at a point where I'm like, okay, I deserve love. I deserve love. I deserve to love people. I deserve to receive love. And I deserve to get into a relationship again, whenever that time is. I trust myself that I won't rely on that person to fulfill me. I trust myself that I will be able to leave when it's time. I trust myself that I will handle it, you know? Because I was at a point in my life when I got into that relationship, and I think that's something that's such a big sort of red flag when it comes to, am I at risk of becoming codependent? Is like, am I filling my own cup? Am I good on my own? Am I able to validate my own feelings? Am I able to make myself happy? Am I doing the things that I want? Like, is my life complete on my own? If the answer is no, I highly advise to not get into a relationship until the answer is yes. You are risking so much getting into a relationship when you aren't fulfilling yourself because inevitably you will rely on that person to fulfill you. I'm not saying that depending and relying on your partner is bad. It's not. It is healthy to depend on your partner for certain things and to rely on your partner for certain things, but not to fulfill you and not to be your source of happiness. You cannot expect other people to be your source of happiness because that is placing so much pressure onto your partner and onto your relationship, and that's also not their fucking responsibility. It's impossible to make someone else happy if they can't make themselves happy. Impossible. Kimpossible, if you will. The point of a relationship is not to find someone who completes you. It's to be complete on your own and then go to another complete person and enjoy your time together and lift each other up even more and have fun and be happy together, not to make each other happy. Obviously, if you're having a bad day, uplift their spirits, yes, but not to be their source of happiness. Nobody can be your source of happiness beside yourself. Please don't come in my car, Mr. B. I don't want to right now. That was one of the biggest lessons I learned is like anything you experience up until you become your own, I'm rolling my window up, until you become your own source of happiness will be half enjoyed and also half unhealthy because nothing can fulfill you besides whatever is inside of you. So once I sort of started to really fulfill myself, the fear of me getting into a relationship and quote unquote losing myself again started to get less and less and less. And now I truly feel like I could get into a relationship and it would be incredible because I'm so happy on my own. I'm so fulfilled on my own. I'm not seeking anything. I'm not seeking validation. I'm not hoping to get in a relationship for this reason or that reason. Like, I would love a relationship to enjoy my time and share my time with another human being. But also, I don't need it. I'm not searching. I'm not out there looking for it because I don't need it. Like, I'm good on my own. But if it does happen, that's awesome as well. Sorry, babes. My microphone stopped recording. And then I readjusted myself because I was getting a bit uncomfortable with my knees all scrunched up in my car. Anywho. So we're going to be talking about codependency, signs you're codependent, how to work through codependency, all of the things. I still need to readjust myself because I'm not that comfy. I just wish like the middle piece of my car didn't exist and I could just put my legs wherever I wanted, but whatever. I guess life doesn't always work that way. Anyway, before I get into anything, I just want to say this. Human beings biologically crave connection. It is in our biological makeup to want community, to want connection, and to crave it. Do not beat yourself up for that. That is one thing that I really beat myself up for when I was in like my hyper independent stages is like, oh, I would love to like cuddle someone or like, oh, I would love to have a person to like write love letters to, you know, whatever. So annoying. It's not annoying. That's normal. That is so normal. That's you being a human, my love. Don't beat yourself up for craving it. But also, I will say, like, when you are single and when you are craving these moments of intimacy or connection or whatever, there are ways to fulfill that that aren't getting into a relationship, because I am such a firm believer, and it is not fair to get into a relationship until you're, I don't want to say ready for one, but like, until you're capable of having a healthy relationship. Because is anyone ever quote unquote ready for a relationship? Who knows? But if you aren't emotionally available, don't get into a fucking relationship. That's not fair to the other person. It's not gonna go well. It's not. Because even if they, like, I don't know, so many people are like, well, they could help you heal. That's too much pressure on them. They're not your therapist. They are not your therapist. Maybe that's a hot take. But, like, if I met someone who I was so in love with, but they were emotionally unavailable, sorry, that's not gonna work for me. I'm not your fucking therapist, babe. You have to be able to meet me where I'm at. You know, because I'm not gonna, otherwise I feel like you leave with resentment towards that person because you had to, like, I don't know, maybe that's just me, but like, also it's probably because of my history with just like emotionally unavailable men, to where I'm like, no, literally no. Anyways, that's sort of my thing. We need community, but we also need to be an individual, and this is where independence, healthy independence, not codependency or not hyper independence, healthy independence is accepting that you need and want community while also being so happy to be on your own. Learning to find that balance. Life is all about balance. That's one of the biggest lessons I learned while healing my codependency and my hyper independency is, hey babe, there can be a balance. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You don't have to hate everyone and never want to speak to another human again. Or you also don't have to never be able to be alone a day in your life. So, these are some signs you might be struggling with codependency. Number one, you struggle with validating your own feelings. This sort of comes back to not being able to fill your own cup, not being able to validate yourself, seeking external validation for everything. So, something that I didn't realize is like, codependency doesn't always have to be just on one person, you know? And also, I didn't realize codependency can present in like family members and things like that as well. I didn't realize, like, I had worked through my codependency when it comes to relationship, but I still struggle with codependency in my family life. And that's partly why I felt so unsure of, like, or fearful that I'd get into a relationship and fall back into my codependent spirals, because I was still codependent with my family. And we'll get into that. But not being able to validate your own feelings can be such a massive sign of codependency, because a massive part of life is, and living, is validating your feelings. Someone has to do it, and I need it to be you. Because if not, you're going to keep getting into sticky situations with people who you probably shouldn't be, just so they can reassure you, validate you, whatever. And when I say validate your feelings, it doesn't have to be like, I'm sad, validate me. It could be like, I don't feel good about myself. I need to go seek that somewhere else. And that can get into, you know, developing unhealthy relationships, emotional eating, emotional spending, emotional or unhealthy relationships with sex. Like, don't do anything to validate yourself. If you want to go have a hookup, by all means, baby, do it. But don't do it if you're just trying to validate yourself. Don't do it if you're just trying to make yourself feel wanted. You know, don't do things just to validate your, or fill your voids. You know, we figure out, like, when you are feeling the urge to go do something simply just to fill a void, sit with yourself instead and figure out how you can feel that. Not by going out and getting fucked up, or going out and having a hookup, or going out and spending money, or going out and eating. Those are unhealthy coping mechanisms. Rather than trying to cope and fill a void and validate your feelings elsewhere, externally, whether it be with another person or not, sit with yourself and figure out, what's the source of this and how can I work through it? You gotta stop the problem at the source, my love. It's scary and it can be hard. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you it's easy to do that, but it's worth it. And you gotta do it if you want healthy relationships. Number two, not having a sense of self. not knowing who you are outside of this relationship, whether it be romantic, platonic, familial, whatever. Who are you? Not who are you as this person's best friend, or who are you as this person's sister, or who you are as this person's partner, or who you are as whatever. Who are you? Who are you? Can you answer that question when I ask you right now? Who are you for yourself, not who you are for other people? That was big for me. My therapist a while ago, I forget when it was. Anyways, my therapist, when I was really working through this, she kept asking me, Allison, who are you? Babe, I don't fucking know. I could not answer that question at all. I'm going to try to explain to you what I mean by like not who you are for other people. Because when my therapist would ask me, Allison, who are you? Or like what are things you like? What are things you don't like? When I would start to try to figure out who I am as a person, I would write down things or list things or whatever that I had been conditioned to think that I liked. So like, for example, when I was like, who am I? I'm someone who helps people a lot. And my therapist was like, but do you enjoy doing that? Or do you just do it because that's what you've been conditioned to do? Like, you are not someone who helps people. You are someone who's had no choice but to help people. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, you're right. And I'm trying to think of other things. Like, I just wrote down I was very generous and I was very patient and I was very nurturing. And my therapist was like, but is that you or is that who you've had to be? Oh, my God. I wrote down one, and also, like, the lines can blur. Like, yes, I had to be someone who was generous, but also, innately, I am a generous person. So, know that the lines can blur. But also, one of the biggest ones was, like, my therapist asked me, who are you? What are some qualities about yourself? Or actually, she didn't even say that. She was like, who are you? And I was like, I don't know how to answer this question, babe. Do I write down qualities about me? She was like, don't overthink it. Just, who are you? Figure it out. Talk to me next week. So I came back to her with like a list of qualities and then a list of things I liked and disliked. And one of the first things I wrote was, I am a strong person. And she was like, Allison, are you strong or is that just something you've had to be? Is this who you are? Is this who you have had to be to survive? Is this who you have had to be for other people? Those are two different things. And that's like codependency right there. I didn't realize I could be codependent on my family. I literally thought codependency was just in friendships or relationships. But like, codependency can blur into so many different things. It's not just like, oh, I'm codependent on this person. It's like, oh, I'm codependent and this is affecting all of my relationships. So that's why it's so important to work through, because even if your last codependent relationship ended, if you haven't worked through your codependency, you're still codependent, you know, just like you maybe don't have a person that you are dependent on at the moment. So that's another sign. If you don't know who you are outside of the friendship, relationship, whatever. Another one is also, I've like gathered all of these from my own knowledge as well as like I did some research because I wanted to like have a tangible list I could give you. Anyways, next, feeling like the world would end if you lost this person. Not knowing, like not being able to picture yourself beyond this relationship. I remember, when I was in that relationship and even a past friendship that I had, like when I would think about my life without that person, I would literally be like, I'd probably die at that point. And even like when I was going on and off with my last, with that person I was talking about, with my ex, I was like, I think the world's probably going to fall to like out of orbit. Like I think I'll just die. I didn't think I would survive it. Crazy. Like, okay, babe, that's okay. Awesome. So feeling like the world would end probably is a great sign. Oh my God, codependent. Not enjoying doing things without them. I see so many people who never do anything without their partner. And like, I'm so happy for you that you found someone who you love to do everything with, but you have to still be your own fucking person. When you get into a relationship, I am begging you to still have your own life. Don't do every single thing you've ever done with them. Maybe this is just me because I am still like, I think it is still so important to have your independence in a relationship, because love you all to death, but you cannot guarantee that you won't lose this person or something won't happen that they'll leave. And I'm not saying that's going to happen at all. And that's not me like going into relationships already seeing a way out, if that makes sense. But it's like, you never know what's going to happen. You want to make sure you're good regardless. That maybe that's just me always prepping for disaster. But like, even if it doesn't end, you still need to know who you are in that relationship. Because going back to my last point, like, or one of my points, not knowing who you are outside of this relationship. If you are only together with like that person, who the fuck are you besides just this? You know what I mean? I don't know. It's so important to have your own hobbies, have your own friends, like go do things without them, go do things on your own, like be your own individual in this relationship. It's not just like you don't just become one. It's you and this person against the world. But you know what I mean? I don't know. And also, like, if it gets to a point where you are unhappy when any second you're not with them, figure that out. I love you to death, but that's like a codependency sign. I'm also such a tough love person, and when I am saying all these rough things, I say this every episode, please don't take it harsh, because I'm talking to my past self when I'm saying figure it out. That's me talking to my 15-year-old self. Get it the fuck together, Allison. Okay. Another sign that you are in a codependent relationship or you are someone who struggles with codependency is not being able to communicate your feelings or set healthy boundaries. This is a big one, because I wish I could give an explanation to this. It sort of, for me, blends into people pleasing, but I didn't realize that like not being firm in my boundaries was codependency. I didn't realize that. And honestly, I can't put it into words why it is right now. But not being able to communicate my feelings and not being able to set boundaries was something I really struggled with my family. And my therapist had to tell me, Allison, that's a sign of codependency. And I can't put it into why. Like, I don't know why that's codependency, but I just know it is. It's one of those things that, like, I just know, but I can't explain it. Let me think on this. Why is it codependent to not be able to communicate my feelings? Maybe because partially, like, I cared more about their feelings, or like I just wanted to avoid conflict, so I just dealt with it and I did it anyways, and it was just unhealthy. I don't know, but I just wanted to tell you that tip, even though I don't really know how to put it into words. Relying on them to fill your cup or for your happiness. Never place your happiness into anyone's hands besides your own, my love. Doing things for them to the detriment of your own wellness. This was another big one with my family. Just sort of like doing things even if you don't want to do it because you know it'll make him happy. But also not even that. It's like something could be harming you, but you're going to do it anyways because the other person wants you to do it. Or you're going to, you know what I mean? Something with my family was always standing up and just like getting shit done, whether it be chores in the house or helping out with my niece or whatever, like constantly doing things that was fucking with my mental health because of how much I was doing it, just because I needed to do it for them and I needed to get it out of the way, you know, like. And my therapist really had to be like, Allison, you have to stop doing this. You have to set boundaries. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Stop. So if you are doing things for that person to the detriment of your own wellness, sign of codependency. And then feeling incapable of not doing things without them, feeling like you aren't able to do something on your own, feeling super anxious doing things on your own. And also, like, I'm not saying any of these things, like, you're not a bad person if you experience any of these things. You're not a bad person if you're in a horribly codependent situation. It's just something to work through. And baby, we all have things to work through. You are okay. I'm not judging you for this. I was there for a very long time. Is that my Amazon truck? Oh, it's not even an Amazon truck, so no. Anyways, let's move into some of my tips on how to work through codependency and how to rely on yourself. So like I said, the goal is to rely on yourself, validate yourself, be dependent on yourself, but still being comfortable with accepting help from others, being able to appreciate their company, like being able to have healthy relationships. You know, when I was super codependent, I was like, I need people. And then when I was super hyper independent, I was like, absolutely not, never speak to me. The goal here is to be everything you need, but still allow other people to come and add to your life. I am so good on my own. I know I've got everything I need, But also, I love it when people come in and add to that. That's amazing. Whether it be with spending time with me or helping me out or whatever. And something I really struggled with after healing from codependency and going towards hyper-independency is not being able to ask for help. And I'm really working on that. It's okay to ask for help. To the hyper-independent out there, you are allowed to ask for help. And you are allowed to accept help. It does not make you weak at all. Also, fuck being weak and fuck being strong. Just be. Nobody's weak or strong. Strong is just something they tell people who have been fucked over way too many times and traumatized way too many times. You don't need to be strong. You shouldn't have to be strong. Be soft. Who cares? Take small steps. Start taking healthy distance. If you're in a relationship or a friendship or whatever and you notice like you have a really hard time being away from them, start small. Start by going on a drive by yourself. Start by going a walk around the block by yourself. Take yourself on movie dates. Take yourself on a dinner date. You have to start pushing yourself out of your comfort zone though. It's going to be uncomfortable. I know it's going to be uncomfortable, but that's, you got to work through that uncomfortability and it's going to get easier. It's going to get easier. Start being honest with yourself about your feelings and be honest with the other person about your feelings. A lot of the times with codependency, a lot of feelings that like are unwanted can come up and we hold them back, whether it be to please the other person or because we're embarrassed or whatever. Stop. That's only making this cycle worse. Be honest with yourself and then be honest with your partner or your friend or your mom, whoever. Be honest with the people. Communicate with them and establish boundaries. And even start by saying like, hey, this is something like I'm working on. Is I've realized recently I think I struggle with codependency and I really want to work on it. I'm going to try my best to start being more communicative with you. Please like be, or like even can we talk about how maybe you could best hold a space for me when I'm trying to communicate things with you. It doesn't have to be out of nowhere. Like, hey, this has been really like hurting my feelings for a really long time and I hate doing this and I've just been doing it because I want to make you happy. It doesn't have to be there. Take baby steps, you know? Fill your own cup, give yourself all the love you want. This is one of my biggest things that I live by is give yourself all of the love that you want from others. I said, or also give yourself all the love you want from others, but also give yourself all of the love that you want to give other people. Especially if you're like single working through codependency, but like I would always want to like overextend myself and give love to everybody else because I was codependent and I was a people pleaser and I never gave love to myself. I was like, here you go. Here's me loving you. Now love me. You know, a lot of the times when codependent people do things and overgive to the detriment of their own wellness, even if they don't want to, it's because they're hoping that person will give it back to them. Stop overextending yourself to people because you're hoping they give you a sliver back. Give it to yourself instead, please. So if you feel the need to like call a friend or like go to a friend's house and, or this is not a good example. If you're in a relationship with someone and you feel like you want to go buy them a bunch of gifts and, you know, write them a nice love letter and clean their room and go out of their way to do all these things for you, but your intention behind that is like, I hope they do something back. Or maybe not your intention, but like a part of you is like, I hope they give it back. Do it for yourself instead because you're not doing it because you actually want to do it. You're doing it because you're trying to send signals and like hoping they give it back to you. Do it for yourself instead. If you want someone to write you love letters, write yourself one. I still write myself love letters. I've always wanted a partner to write me love letters. I write them to myself and say all the things that I love about myself and all the things that I wish someone else would see in me, love in me, appreciate and understand about me. Like I love my freckles and I'm always like, wouldn't it be so cute if someone really loved my freckles? I write myself love letters. I love your fucking freckles. They're so cute. I love how your brain works. I love how you view the world. Like literally write love letters to yourself. Take yourself on dinner dates. Buy yourself flowers. I can buy myself flowers. Hell yeah, Smiley. Do all the things that you want other people to do for you, please. And beyond that, do the things that you want to do with others, do it with yourself. Stop waiting for other people to live your life. Stop waiting for your friends to finally say yes to that trip or stop waiting for your partner to finally take you on that date you've always wanted to go on. Do it with yourself. Don't wait for other people to live your life. That is one of the biggest signs of codependency is if you're waiting to live your life until other people are around to live it with you. If you want to go on a picnic, like that's something I always wanted to do was go on a picnic with a partner. What am I waiting for? Go. backpacking around Europe. I wanted to do it with a partner so badly. I thought it would be so cute. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it by myself. And in the future, sure, we can do it together. But I don't have a partner right now and I want to go to Europe. Why am I waiting for a partner? No, I'm doing it now. And then date yourself, which we've already talked about. Holy shit, 45 minute episode. I feel like I've been talking nonstop. Oh, because I have. Anyways, I'm going to leave the episode here. If you have any questions about this, let me know. I feel like it was a lot of rambling. And the same steps to work through hyper-independency, small steps. Slowly start accepting help. Work through your fears. Like, get to the bottom of, what am I so afraid about? Why am I so afraid of letting people in? And recognize that, like, you have the power to not allow that to happen. That's what I had to realize. Like, why am I so afraid of letting people in? I have the power to control those fears. I was afraid I'd become codependent again. That's up to me. I can work through my codependency, and I did. And now I'm not afraid of that anymore. I can work to trust myself. A lot of it's trusting yourself and knowing you're not weak or you're not whatever. Like, weak is subjective. Who cares if you're weak? Anyways, also, you're not weak because you're healing. Nobody who's actively healing and becoming a better person can be weak. That's impossible, in my opinion. I love you so much. I'm proud of you for even listening to this. It's hard to accept that you're codependent. It's hard to accept that you're hyper-independent. And it's hard to accept that there's work to do. But we all have work to do. Even me, I'm still working on this every day. I'm not healed completely. Absolutely fucking not. I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. You are doing so great. If you have any questions, let me know. Follow me on Instagram at @TheAllisonLarue. Please make sure you like this. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to my YouTube, Allison LaRue. Comment, subscribe, like. If you're on Spotify or Apple, give it a review. Give it a 5-star rating. I'd love you to death if you did that. But yeah, I'll see you guys later. I think that's all. I'm so proud of you. And guess what? You deserve healthy love. Bye, friends.